Welcome to Humans of Van Life, the most raw, authentic, and diverse podcast from the road. If you like this podcast and want to support it, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen. It truly helps. Thanks a lot. I think this is episode 27. I don't know if it's 27 or 28. That's okay, though. I'm sitting here in hot Denver yet again with Naomi and Dustin.
Hi.
How are you guys feeling?
Hi.
Feeling good.
Yay. I just feel like you're, like, natural here. Like, this is, like, your natural state.
Feels natural.
Yeah.
Feels comfortable.
Good.
It's a Westie.
Yeah. You're home.
Feels home, yeah.
Feels like home.
So, you guys have been on quite the journey lately.
Yes, it has been.
We've been wanting to connect for a little while and kind of get you here in the studio. Mm-hmm. But, of course, as the Westie life goes, it's been difficult. Do you guys want to share a little bit about what the journey has been for you last number of weeks?
Well. Yeah, I think it's been 2 months going strong on breakdowns.
Yeah, well, we learned that we needed a new engine. We had to replace the engine in the Westie. So we spent some time getting the details of that ironed out, lining up a mechanic, and ordering the parts. So we were sitting still for a while waiting on things. We got everything going, got the van back 2 weeks ago with the new engine, and it didn't quite work. So found out we had no power, or very little power. Mm-hmm. So more issues. A tow to another town, and a week later we found out it was a bad distributor. So once that was replaced, we were running strong. Mm-hmm. So we got out of town.
For like a day.
For a day. We didn't get far out of town, and the van stalled and wouldn't start.
Mm-hmm. So I was driving at the time. We were going uphill mm-hmm. on a busy highway. Coming into Denver, and I had no gas at all. I'm stepping on the gas, and nothing's happening. Turned it off, turn it back on, nothing happened, mm-hmm. no power, and I just found a pullout. It was really scary, actually. I just found a pullout, and I pulled aside and freaked out a little bit. Yeah, we were sitting at the side of the road for like 3 hours.
Yeah, with 18 wheelers whizzing by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
trying
pretty
to figure it out.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think that was the last straw for me. I was just like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. I'm at the side of this highway, busy highway. It's hot as hell, and the van won't start no matter what we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was just the last straw. It's been going on for like 2 months now. Mm. Before that, we were in three cylinders, which you know was the reason why we decided to get a new engine. Imagine a Westie mm-hmm. with the stock engine on three cylinders. I mean, we might as well get out and walk.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
And before that, we got stuck and burned out our clutch. And when we replaced the clutch, that's when we found out we were running on three cylinders.
Yeah.
So going back to Memorial Day. So yeah.
In general, it's been like really, I guess, really stressful, kind of, we felt just helpless, and we're both really exhausted, yeah. Mentally drained. Yeah, it kind of got to a point where I was just thinking, you know what, is this even worth it, you know? Like, all the stress, we have so much projects backed up, but yeah. Now that it's fixed, I feel a lot better. Just got to play catch up on all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard when the breakdowns happen. Yeah. It really got you, like, thinking, you know, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this most recent breakdown, we were fortunate that we had a friend tow us to his house, give us a place to stay and a place to work on the van, and 3 days of diagnosing, and we found out it was the ECU. So, a simple fix, took a while to get there,
mm-hmm.
but once we found it, now we got it switched out and we're rolling strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, we're really grateful for all the amazing people that help us out along the way. Mm-hmm. Like, there are always people stopping at the side of the road, like bringing Dustin to the parts store, just wanting to hear our stories. You know, even if we offer money, hey, can I give you some gas money? They don't want that. They want stories. They want to hear about our lives, and people are always willing to help. And I think that's one of the things that just keeps us, I guess, hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Hopeful, yeah. So this is an interesting thing because I haven't really had the opportunity to sit with, like, my Westie family. Really, I haven't.
Yeah.
And so this is something, like, I completely know. Like, this feeling, this whole experience, like, it's really, like, is this worth it? And, like, how long can you continue on for? And so, like, in moments like that, like, what goes through your guys' mind? Like, is it, like, I want to sell this van? Like, what goes through your mind?
A few months ago, like, actually, when we got back from Baja, I think it was in March, and March or April, when we were having all those issues. I don't even remember what those issues were. I was over it. Mm-hmm. I told Dustin, I was like, I want to get rid of this van. It's stealing our time. It's stealing our happiness. It's stealing time away from each other, time away from our passionate projects. I was just done. And, you know, we were both in separate places at the time. He was just, like, not wanting to hear that I was done with the Westie, and I was like, I don't want to continue with this van. So it was kind of a strange place for us. I never thought that I would feel that way about this van at all. You know, when we first got it and we got on the road a year in, we were like, oh, we'll never get rid of this Westie. It's the best thing that's ever happened to us. It's like our freedom vessel. You know, we've grown so much in it. But, yeah, at that moment, it was just, I was just over it. You know, I feel a little differently now that, you know, Dustin and I talked about it and we know what we need to do. But I think that if we decide to get another van or buy a house or land, I think I'm okay with letting go. I think I'm okay with the good times that we've had in this van and all the amazing experiences and the people we've met on our journey. I think inside me, I feel okay with that, if that ever happens. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not, like, grasping on to, you know, to the memories and to the time. You know, I'm loving those memories and I'm holding on to it, and it's very precious. You know, it's allowed me to grow so much, but I think I've gotten to a point where if that time comes, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not ready yet, though.
And where are you at?
I think eventually we'll move on to something bigger, maybe something more modern.
Like in terms of a van.
In terms of a van, yeah. Yeah, so eventually we'll get a bigger vehicle.
Yeah.
Maybe a family-sized vehicle.
Maybe.
Okay.
And something a little more modern. But right now I'm glad that we're giving Irie some new life with the new engine, and we're gonna continue our journey in the Westie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we ever like decide, okay, we're ready to move on. Mm-hmm. You know, I definitely want to leave her in good hands, and I want to leave her in, you know, in good condition. Mm-hmm. She deserves it.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious. Do you guys feel at all like you identify with your van?
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And, like, this is something that, like, I want to talk about, because I don't know if a lot of people would understand, and... But it's, like, do you ever feel as if you are your van? Like, for example, like, going up to something modern, that's more sustainable, I feel. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you could use the word smarter. Because it's more like more than less going to be cheaper. It's going to save time. You're not going to have so many breakdowns. But there's so much to these, these old school retro, like the people you meet, the experiences. There's so much there.
Yeah.
That, like, even in my lowest times, I've been like, is it possible for me to try and move on? Like, is it possible for me to go for something modern per se?
Yeah, I struggle with that because, like you say, these. You know, old Volkswagens, I mean, they're iconic. Mm-hmm. There's a culture to it. And yeah, and I definitely feel like it's an extension of who I am. You know, it's like I've grown in it. There are so many experiences that are connected to it. You know, the people that we meet, like driving down the road, when people see us, you know, it's like peace signs everywhere, like kids' faces, like their jaw drops, and you know, there's just, their face light up and people are waving. And we've forged so many amazing friendships in our Westie. Yeah.
And the Westie community is a subset of the van life community. The Westie community in and of itself has its own culture, its own mm-hmm. vibe, and it's really special and really unique, and it's what really ushered us into the van life mm-hmm. community, mm-hmm. is that camaraderie around the Westie. And I often wonder if, like, we're Westie people. I often wonder if people who live in Sprinters consider themselves Sprinter people, or if there's that real communal culture that there is amongst the Westie. I mean, I know that van life has a great culture around it, as it is, and everyone in van life pretty much feels that connection to one another and is easy to connect with. But mm-hmm. I feel like there's a whole other level when it comes to Westies.
I totally agree. And that's what makes it so difficult. And, like, it sounds kind of, like, every time I talk about this, specifically with people that don't have a Westie,
yeah.
they're like, what are you going on about?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't explain, like, very frequently, part of my practice when I'm driving is to notice all the small things that the Westie provides me with
yeah.
and let that sink in.
Uh-huh.
Because it's basically like I'm stocking up for when something shitty happens. I'm like, oh yeah, right. But that one older lady
yeah.
went like this, tagged me down and said, sweetheart, when I was younger.
Yes.
And goes on. Oh,
those are the best.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, what, there's this interesting like dichotomy between, that's almost kind of what we're paying for. Like, that's what we're, like, setting ourselves up for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, and, like, for me, it's fully embodying.
Mm-hmm.
It's the journey, not the destination.
Absolutely. Yep.
And, like, I told you several times mm-hmm. during this whole experience that you guys were having that, like, believe it or not, it's really difficult during these times, but, like, something bigger is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the universe does have your back, and this is part of your journey, whether it, like,
yeah.
strengthens you, or whether the universe is like, are you sure you're done? Or, like,
yeah.
are you not done yet? Like, whatever it is,
yeah.
there's so many lessons, and I think that, like, there's so much to say about the road less traveled, or the road that's more challenging,
mm-hmm.
with all this growth that comes from it.
That's so true. Yeah. Yesterday was, honestly, I felt so defeated, and then suddenly it started up. You yeah. know, Dustin mm-hmm. fixed
it's
it,
back.
New ECU unit, and yeah, it was, I got to that point where I just hit a wall, and I was just so defeated, I felt so sick to my stomach, it's like, are we ever gonna move from this spot again? You know, mm-hmm. but I definitely hear you on that, I think there's something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned many lessons over the last 3 days.
Well, and that's why I think that we, like, connect so well is this Westie family. Because I really feel as if, like, van life in general, but specifically, at least I'll talk for myself, this Westphalia, like, it is a metaphor for life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It truly is. Like, I don't have the privilege, and also it's brought in so much perspective shifts for me, because, like, I don't have the privilege of just, like, getting in my van, starting off and taking off.
Right.
Like, it might not start.
Yeah.
Not only that, I at least have to wait 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So my other friends are all eager to go, and they're in a rush. I constantly am checking myself. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not in a rush.
Yeah.
And let's just see if VWE starts.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just like this whole idea of, like, really, like, I don't know, I just think about privilege a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Privilege for A, being out here and being able to live this lifestyle.
Yeah.
But then also, like, there's so much that comes, like, always, like, be like, kind of, like, babying her and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't just arrive at a destination in 3 hours like Google Maps says.
Right.
Yeah. It actually takes me 5.5.
Right.
Yeah. It's definitely yeah. been a journey of patience and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've learned to be patient in our Westie.
Yeah, it makes you resilient. Mm-hmm. It's taught us what we're made of. I mean, we've had some really epic breakdowns and times where we thought, okay, this is it. This
yeah.
is the end. Like, there's no way we can continue. And yet we do. We figure it out. We mm-hmm. fix it. We keep it going. And it's got to a point where in the beginning we felt like that, where when we would have a big breakdown, it would be like, well, it's over. Well, now we have a big breakdown and we're like, okay, well, what do we do? How do we get
yeah.
how do we get past this?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like when you're stuck in the mud, how do you get unstuck? So
right.
mm-hmm. that's how we think now. In the beginning, it was like, oh no, our life is over. But now it's just like, okay, I'm so calm and so patient. And I just allow it to happen, and we figure it out. We're stuck in the mud. Let's get unstuck.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You know, Anthony, we did a podcast with Anthony yesterday, and he shared the most beautiful thing. He said, without the mud, there's no lotus.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was like,
so
wow.
True.
And, like, that's the essence. Like, as soon as I met you guys, I felt all that within you. Like, really, it's just this, like, Oh, man. Yeah, I guess it's just, exactly, I view you guys as a beautiful blossoming lotus, but it's just, and because you guys are, but also, everything that this lifestyle has, is primed us, right? Yeah. Primes us, constantly yeah. primes us for sure. to blossom as we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this probably sounds hilarious.
No, but like, I feel this yeah. so much, I feel like that's been my life on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking back, connecting the dots and seeing how far I've come and how much I've grown, it's just blowing my fucking mind. It's incredible. It's like, wow.
Indeed.
That happened in 3 years of my life, living in this Westie, traveling on the road,
mm-hmm.
just being open, creating, connecting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Trial and error.
Yeah.
And you guys have, just for a little bit of a background story, so mm-hmm. you've lived in New Westie for 3 years, like mm-hmm. you're saying, and you've traveled from Baja to...
Baja to Washington, we've been to the East Coast.
Started in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Went to the East Coast, crossed the country, spent a lot of time in the West.
Yeah.
A lot of miles.
Yeah.
Growth.
We've been everywhere, man.
And you know what's so beautiful? So I'm just having a realization right now, you guys. Like, I knew of you
uh-huh.
back in Canada.
Really?
Like, for me, you guys are like kind of like the OG van lifers. And what I mean is like you've built up this beautiful spiderweb of connections. And I remember, like, when I was first getting into van life, I guess I've had my van for 3 years now as well, but didn't live in it the whole time. And always like seeing you guys on Instagram, and almost it's so crazy because like it's just like, whoa,
yes.
like, who are these people? Who are these people? And then come down to the US, follow my heart. That's really what I did, and
yeah.
end up running into you guys.
That's so awesome.
And so I'm just like realizing, like, you're sitting right here, and I'm here. This is so cool.
The best.
Yes.
The best.
Beautiful.
Truly.
And
yeah.
so do you guys want to share with us a little bit about what you're doing for work or projects on the road?
Yeah, so the biggest, most fun thing we're working on right now is the Van Life app.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we are wearing many hats, getting this app off the ground, up and running. The main reason that Naomi and I came on board with the Van Life app was to give direction to the public benefit and sustainability side,
mm-hmm.
to ensure that sustainability and environmental advocacy is in the bedrock of the app.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah.
our mission with the Van Life app.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think we're being really successful at, because
mm-hmm.
our community is so open to environmental stewardship and learning and growing
mm-hmm.
and sharing together. I mean, we care about the places
mm-hmm.
we go. I mean, we live, work, and play in the outdoors, so it's really important that we take responsibility for, you know, keeping it healthy, for not trashing campsites and cleaning up and leaving it better. So, yeah, our community is really inspiring as far as Leave No Trace and environmental stewardship. So I think that, you know, we've definitely, you know, set the foundation for that when it comes to the app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in your experience, I know a lot of... people who are not fully immersed in this community think that a lot of van people leave garbage around, they don't treat the land well. Has that been your experience in all the places you've been?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
Mm.
I find that people who travel a lot and live in the outdoors
mm.
tend to take care of that. It would be like someone just trashing their own home. You're a lot
mm.
less likely to trash your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you are likely to leave trash around, you're not going to do it in your own backyard. And I feel like everything is our backyard, so it's our responsibility to maintain all of the places we visit.
Yeah.
And that's such a good point, and like I feel like this is a really important conversation to have again, because that's been my experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've noticed that, like, my fellow community members, it's extra, extra care for the land,
mm-hmm.
yet that's not how a lot of us are viewed.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So for people who've never heard of the Van Life app, how could you guys sum that up? Like, what's the intention of the app?
So the Van Life app is intended to be a one-stop resource for all things road travel, combining resources and community all in one place.
Which is really exciting because, I mean, you don't have to leave the app. Mm-hmm. Community is right there at your fingertips. If you want that, you can have it. If you, and you can show yourself if you wanted to other users nearby. You can have a meetup, a camp out. You can even host a cleanup on the app. You can have host a gathering on there if you want to. And I think that that's one of the most special parts about it, is having community at your fingertips.
Absolutely. The practical side of it is you can find campsites. You can find showers, laundry facilities,
recycling.
Propane fill, recycling, composting, any resource you could need while traveling on the road, you can find it on the Van Life app. And what goes beyond that is what Naomi and I found when we first got on the road. We had been on the road for 6 months, and we had not really connected with community. We were outside of Yellowstone. It was getting cold, first snowfall. We had our little heater barely working in the van. We were freezing, really wondering what we were doing with our lives. We were feeling lonely, kind of out of place. Mm-hmm. And we heard about a van life gathering in Bend, Oregon called Descend on Bend. And Naomi's on Instagram, and she sees it, and she told me about it. And I'm like, well, let's go. Like, what are we doing here freezing? Let's just go. And so we just pretty much drove straight from Yellowstone to Bend, Oregon. And the next thing we know, we're driving down a dirt road behind another Westie. And we pull up into this incredible place with vans everywhere. A lot of Westies. But vans of every kind. And suddenly we realized, wow, there are other people doing this. We're not alone in this. That's when we found community. And that's what really changed our van life and allowed us to continue. I don't think, if we hadn't found community at that point, I don't know how much longer we would have made it on the road.
Yeah, we were very lonely. Yeah.
And the Van Life app is here to help us find community.
Wow, that just really put a lot into perspective for me, because every episode on Humans Van Life that I've sat and shared space with people, community is on the forefront of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Of course. Because, again, every human being wants love and belonging. That's it. That's the root of underneath everything. Doesn't matter your status, race, you freaking name it. That's what we want. Mm-hmm. And so to, like, finally have an app where you can get all of that is so rad. Yeah. Like, that's, like, pretty much a van lifer's dream.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that's not even people that live in that. Anybody on the road that wants to connect, that wants to have the access to these facilities, it's like... Because I remember, like, when I was on the road by myself, I didn't have a bloody clue what I was doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit, like, this is actually, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know what to do. And, like, how do I connect with others? Like, of course, if I come across them, beautiful. But, like, I genuinely like to seek out some people and meet some people. Because that obviously feels so much better than being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so cool to have, like, one place to be able to do all that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, like, giving power to the community, and the app belongs to the community. It's like, what do we want? We put our heads together, we say we want this, this, and this, and we just put it in that app, and we're off.
So when you say it's for the community, how can the community contribute to this app?
By using the app, first of all. Community need the, you know, individuals within the community need to go in the app, they need to use it, give us feedback, tell us what they need, what they like, what they don't like, and
add locations and reviews.
Yeah, locations and reviews, that's really important. It's about, not just about putting a location and saying, okay, here's a campsite. Like, we want, I guess, reviews that can really help us for, you know, people coming after you using the app.
Think about what you would be looking for. If you're looking for a campsite, a place to spend the night or to spend a weekend, what kind of review you would want to see. I mean, you wouldn't want to just see campsite by the river. I mean, you want to know some details before you drive 2 hours and drive an hour down a dirt road to get there. You want to kind of know what to expect.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to have quality reviews so that everyone who uses the app can benefit from the resources on it.
Yeah. So maybe you can give an example. You know, like, like how far down the road? How's, like, what's the conditions of the road getting there? Do you need four-wheel drive? Can I get there in my Westie? You know, how big is the campsite? Can it hold multiple vehicles or just one? Is there a firing? Is it near water? Like, one of the most important part is, like, of leaving a review is adding, like, an educational component, like, leave no trace principles, like, all right, is there a bathroom there? If not, you know, remember to dig your cat hole 200 feet away from a water source, you know, something like that. So it's about, like, leaving this educational component, and the people coming after you can be prepared for what to expect when they get to this campsite. Making sure that if there are no, like, trash facilities, you pack it all out, you know? So I think it's really important that when we're leaving reviews on the app, that we leave these little messages for our neighbors coming after us, because like we said before, environmental stewardship is at the forefront of everything, our mission at the Van Life app, and our mission as a community. I mean, we all care about our home, which is outside, so it's important for us to spread that knowledge.
Yeah. And the Van Life app is built by the community, and the more people use it, the better it gets. So use the app, download the app, use the app, add locations, add reviews.
Yeah, give us feedback.
Give us feedback.
Totally, and, like, I love the idea that everybody can contribute, and also, like, that means that we can make it how we want to make it. You know, like, I think a lot of us, like, when we're out here living this, we know what we're missing. We know what we want. So, like, to be able to take part in that and, like, really build up something that can be super useful for all of us is, like, really rad opportunity. Because not often do you get the chance to contribute to something that's being created for your community.
Yeah.
Like, and just for example, I know in nursing there's been so much, it's really changing now, but so much of people entering, let's just say, a village, realizing, oh, I know what they need here, and implementing it. Not including the village. So what is it, what happens? It fails. So I love that the village is being included here, because that's the whole premise of like social beings, and you know, is bringing everybody in and asking, what do you need? And let's make it happen. How can I help you? Not I'm gonna tell you what we need. How can we work together to, like, build up this community or this village together?
Everyone is included in our community. You know, it's for all of us, and it's for making our lifestyle sustainable, like even creating jobs for people on the road, you know? I mean, we all want to know how to sustain this lifestyle, how to sustain ourselves on the road, sharing ideas, collaborating. I mean, it's exciting. It's so exciting, and we're so honored to be a part of it. And to be a part of this incredible community. Without this community, it won't exist.
Beautiful.
And the most beautiful part is that everyone working on the app are van lifers. Living it hardcore.
Hardcore. Sorry. And so I kind of wanted to bring up a little bit about the word diversity with you guys. So Naomi's like, I got this, honey. So that's been coming up a little bit, and what I'll share with you guys is we recently had this beautiful potluck dinner at our friend Anthony's house. So there's been a couple podcasts now since about that, so people who are following will probably be able to tune into this, but what came up is how van life is represented online, how van life is represented to people who aren't actually in vans, whether that's overland or trucks, Subarus, and how van life or how this community is represented in terms of diversity among individuals. So that really got me thinking a lot, and I realized that when I started this podcast, it wasn't exclusive just to vans. However, it is called Humans of Van Life. And to me, that means living this alternative lifestyle. That means being on the road. So I'm pondering the idea of perhaps changing the name. Because I don't want to be exclusive to just somebody in a van. Like I had said on our podcast, like, I don't care if you ride up on a donkey, a Subaru, or whatever it is. Like, I want to sit with you and share and get to know you. But I guess what I'm trying to specifically ask also is, like, how do you feel in terms of representation of color online?
Yeah.
And in this community.
Well, I feel like, yeah, people of color are underrepresented on social media in the van life community. I mean, I'm a woman of color. Mm-hmm. I've created space for myself, you know, on social media and online, which I'm very proud of. You know, I feel like representing a part of our community that is underrepresented, but we out here. We live in the van life, we're living on the road, we're in the outdoors, but I think it's a slow process of creating a space for people of color to rise and I guess have space in the outdoors and in the van life community, and it's something that that I think a lot of people are working hard towards. I think it's happening, but I think it's really important for us to be aware of that and to allow space for you know, that type of inclusivity in our space, in our lifestyle. Yeah.
So in your experience, like, have you felt underrepresented?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I have felt underrepresented.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is why I think it's important for me to, since I have my platform, mm-hmm. to use my voice as a tool, mm-hmm. to shed light on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is an issue.
Yeah, it is an
issue. It's a very diverse community, but it's just not being represented. Like, we go to gatherings and sometimes I'm the only person of color there when I know that there are more people of color living this lifestyle.
So why do you think that they're not accessing these gatherings?
I don't know, it's a disconnect.
Mm.
It's a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that a lot of people of color do not feel welcomed,
mm-hmm.
in the community. They think it's a privilege to be able to go to some of these gatherings,
mm-hmm.
Which is something that I think we need to really, really check, mm-hmm. as a community, mm-hmm. in general. It's, mm-hmm. our responsibility.
Yeah, I agree. It's all of our responsibility to make sure everyone feels included and welcomed, regardless of race, skin color, gender, background, mm-hmm. anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's our responsibility, all of our responsibilities, to hold that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you think social media has a big part in this?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think social media does have a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, as a community, like we just said, mm-hmm. we need to be more conscious of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Social media is a tool that, mm-hmm. It depends on how we use it. We can use, mm-hmm. It can be used to bridge that gap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
feel.
And it should be. It's a powerful tool.
It's a powerful tool.
And I, with, you know, great, I know this sounds kind of like weird, but with great power comes great responsibility, and I think that it's really important for us to use that tool. That's like a Spider-Man.
Sounds like Spider-Man.
But anyway, it just hit my head. I'm like, yeah. Where did I get that from?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's really important for us to use that tool,
mm-hmm.
you know, social media,
mm-hmm.
to bridge that gap, like Dustin says. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the power at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are we going to use that power,
mm-hmm.
to be inclusive?
That's right.
Absolutely. That's what we should do.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are stories out there that need to be told.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there,
mm-hmm.
living, and they're being underrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, I think there's something to say here about, like, gatherings. Like, this is a big topic that's been coming up a lot lately, and there's a lot of feelings around, like, feeling included in gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd really like to work on, like, somehow making it more open for everybody so they feel like everybody can come to it. Like, the whole point,
mm-hmm.
is to all gather together.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I've just, like, noticed, so, like, there's just this interesting dichotomy, again, of people who feel like they can't get to the gathering because they're not welcomed, or it's already such a tight group,
mm-hmm.
that they'll be left out.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, when they get there, their mind's blown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's, you know, one of the most profound experiences of their life. Like, we hear that time and time again, and
always.
My heart was so open, I was living from my heart, not my head. But there's a bit of a discrepancy or, like, tightness about getting to these gatherings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys are hosting one in New Orleans.
Yeah, we are.
So I'm just wondering if you'd be willing to, like, share with me, like, how you might navigate that tightness for people. Like, how can we make it so it's inclusive for everybody?
Personally, like, that's something that I've been thinking about a lot. Because it's really important to me that, you know, our gathering is inclusive and that people feel it's not like this far-fetched, you know, thing, or you have to be privileged to, you know, a certain privilege to be able to attend. So I've been personally reaching out to individuals within the community. I've been calling people, setting up phone calls, messaging people, like, how can I help you get to my gathering? Like, what can we do? You know, I think for me, it's really important. Like, I feel deep down inside that it's important for me to reach out to individuals within our community that have not really been, you know, immersed in the community, to know that this community belongs to them too. Like, this is your space as well. And I'm opening up that space for these individuals. So I've personally been reaching out on Instagram, getting phone numbers, setting up calls, talking about how we can make it happen.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I'm a hands-on kind of person, so that's what I've been doing.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say, if for anyone listening, if you've never been to a van life gathering, find one and go. Check it out. I've never been to one that wasn't welcoming. Mm-hmm. Everyone's accepted. And there are gatherings all around the country. There's one coming up in Taos, New Mexico in August. There's one in Asheville, North Carolina in September. And then our gathering down in New Orleans in October.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pick just one, come down to New Orleans. It's going to be a great time. We're really excited about it. We're putting a lot of energy into making sure it's inclusive, making sure everyone feels welcome, and really making sure we bring a lot of good energy and a lot of fun for the community.
Yeah, and you don't have to live in a van. You could be on a bike, like you said. Bring your donkey. You know,
Subaru.
Yeah, bring your Subaru, bring your tent. All are welcome.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what I really, really appreciate about you too is I think that just like any group or any community, there is always a hierarchy. That's been my experience. That's sort of a... Actually, is it? Is it a primal thing? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But everything that I've come to know and learn, media, I've been marinated in hierarchy.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people, at least I felt this before I even got into the actual community, that there is a hierarchy out here. You see, like your typical five big van lifers, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just everybody knows, whether you want to admit it or not. You got, like, the orange Westie of... The Idol Theory. Mm-hmm. That's like super typical.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up meeting them. Most incredible people. Super humble, absolutely. Beautiful, kind. They're actually putting on the gathering towels.
Yeah.
But it looks from the outside as if there's like five big pins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so amazing to like actually meet people that we put on these hierarchies, create the space, and then just see that we're all just human to human.
Yeah.
And, like, absolutely. That's what I love at these gatherings. That's what I love is that you get the opportunity to meet and sit with just the human.
Yeah.
You know, not the Instagram page, not what you think they are, or the beauty or the edit.
Yeah.
It's like, who is this person?
Raw and real. Yeah.
And that's what I love about gatherings is because you get the chance to do that and to connect, and then you make lifelong friends that, you know, like, I just think about my experience. Like, I'm in Denver right now. There's, like, eight of us staying in our friend Austin's house. You know, like, we met at in BV. We were all like, that was magic land. I
remember that. Yeah.
And like, ever since there, everything's been changed.
Yep.
So it's just like, sometimes it's really hard to get there, but if you just like push yourself to connect, you never know what can happen. Mm-hmm. And it's normally so beautiful.
Yeah.
I feel like van life is, if you're living in a vehicle, mm-hmm. if you're traveling full time, you've already made a really big shift in your life to step out of a comfort zone, because that's not an easy decision. I've never heard anyone say that it was an easy decision to move into their van, to leave their life behind and adopt a life of travel. So you've already made that big leap stepping out of your comfort zone. So I would say don't stop there. When you see someone, go up and say hi. If you see a group, go ahead and approach. If van lifers are welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
It's an open community.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what you guys think about the word van life. Like, so what do you think, like, even if we just took my podcast, like, do you feel as if it's limiting and exclusive? And you can honestly be so honest.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I struggled with it for a while. I think it was 2 years ago. I felt like I was being identified to the, I don't know, the van or the lifestyle. You know, and we were still new on the road. We were like a year and a half on the road. And yeah, I struggled with that identity. It's like I left New Orleans because I was because of identity, being identified a certain way with my career, feeling really lost, not knowing where my life was going, who I was at the time, because I was being identified to my job so much. And being in the van, a year on the road, social media and the hashtag van life, trend took off, and it was like, okay, suddenly we became, this interracial couple in a van, and I struggled a lot with that identity, that I needed to get out of the van. So Dustin and I decided to put on backpacks, get out of the van, and we traveled with backpacks through Asia for 6 months, just reevaluating, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which was a struggle for me. Needing to identify. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you being put in a box.
Yeah. I got out of the box and being put back in the box. Yeah. And yeah.
Totally. That's so wild.
And yeah.
It can be, I feel like it can be limiting, and of course it's about perception. Mm-hmm. I like to say that van life is not a vehicle, it's a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not, we use the term van life, but it's really not about the van. It's van life, but no van necessary. Like you're saying, you can be on anything.
Yeah.
It's a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's an alternative lifestyle, breaking free from that conventional lifestyle, embracing travel, embracing openness.
Yeah.
That's, to
freedom.
Me, that's what van life is.
I'll absolutely be pulling that out as a quote. Because, I've been trying to put tangible words on that. And that's what I mean. This is called humans of van life, but it's a state of mind. It's
mm-hmm.
a perspective. It's a lifestyle. I totally agree. And then there's also something really interesting that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but people like niches.
Mm-hmm.
Niches sell.
Mm-hmm.
If it's humans of the road, it's not going to be as successful
right.
as humans of van life. So isn't that interesting, right? I try and keep this as authentic as possible. Sometimes there's, I don't do barely any editing.
Yeah.
So, for example, I had a podcast with Lynn, and there was dogs barking. Anyway, and this woman came over and yelled it, and it's all in the podcast.
Yeah.
Because authentic, it's real.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's also something to say about van life does sell. There's this whole business part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That word, people are intrigued by it.
It's inspiring.
Yeah.
So it's this, funny line to walk, because you want to keep that because it's a good niche and people like niches
right.
sell, whatever. But also you want to stay true that it's not even about the bands.
Right.
It's
no.
the whole
you
point.
You
want to
be inclusive.
Yeah.
Still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fine line.
Yeah. Totally. So, I'm going to ask each of you guys a question.
What?
okay, drum roll.
Shoot.
Dustin, who were you 5 years ago?
Who was I 5 years ago? That's a great question. Wow. 5 years ago, I was someone who thought they knew what they were doing. 5 years ago, I married this beautiful woman right here. had a good job, a career job. I felt good about, but I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. I thought I was following the path. I was following the path laid out before me, and I thought I'm doing it right. I graduated from school. I found a beautiful wife. I've married. I'm very lucky to have.
Mm-hmm.
And living the quote-unquote life that I'm supposed to be living. And and it was about two more years of realizing that there were a lot of holes.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy in my marriage with my partner, but the rest of it was feeling very empty, very stale. And from 5 years ago to 3 years ago was definitely a big progression of needing to make a change. And 3 years ago we made that change. And definitely a much different person than I was 5 years ago. I feel like I'm much more, I've grown so much. in the last 3 years. Much more open.
And do you believe that humans have to be unhappy? Like, do you believe in the statement, well, you know, you gotta do something you don't like, such as work?
Yeah, no, I don't believe that. I believe that, I mean, you're always gonna have things that you have to do that you don't particularly want to do, such as life, but that doesn't mean that you need to continue doing something that makes you unhappy or that isn't fulfilling. This is a big world. There's a whole lot of ways to live your life. There are a lot of alternatives. And if you're doing something you don't want to do, but eventually it's going to be done and you're going to move on to something better, then that's one thing. But if you're living a life where what you do is just not fulfilling and not making you happy, then it may be time to reevaluate and make a change.
Beautiful. Because over here, we completely agree. Over here on this podcast, we say, I am fucking sick and tired of being told that what I ought to be doing, especially if I'm not happy. And that goes for everybody. Like, we've decided, I'm speaking for a collective now, that you can truly live whatever kind of life you like. You can, and you can create that for yourself. And you can be happy at actually every single moment. You can be happy when you're on the side of the road, broken down. And that's the goal. It's working towards that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's empowering and it's liberating to feel like you can do that. Like, I'm not stuck in any boxes.
Yeah. It's a choice.
Yep. It's a choice, yeah.
Yeah, you can choose happiness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, yeah. And so, Naomi.
Yeah.
Two questions, probably.
Okay.
I'm allowed to know what love means to you.
Wow. That's a good one. Let me think about that. Mm-hmm. What does love mean?
Yeah, what does love mean to you?
Love means to be free. To allow the people around you and yourself to be free. Mental freedom, emotional freedom. Unconditional. Like, there are no strings attached. When you love, the people around you and yourself are free. So I think that that's what love means to me. Mm-hmm. Freedom.
And what does fear mean to you?
Wow, fear. I think fear to me is an illusion. It's not real. It's something I've struggled with a lot living on the road. Fear of uncertainty, which I think a lot of people struggle with when they choose life on the road. It's like, where am I going to shower? You know, how am I going to put gas in the tank? You know, it's like all these fears and anxieties, which I think do not belong to us. It's a fear of, it's a conditioning, you know, society telling us that we need to live a certain way. Like, we have to be packed into these cities and we need to have the biggest house and the biggest cars. And stripping away that conditioning, you know, creates this anxiety and these fears of uncertainty, because I don't have these things. Maybe I'm not fulfilled. I'm not, you know, contributing to society. I'm not living my best life. And that's the total opposite. You know, it's not real. You know, like, now when we break down, I have no fear. Because I know that the fears I had before were just illusions and anxieties of someone telling me that my van isn't good enough. And that's a lie. So, yeah, that's what fear means to me. It's not real.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
And I've come to learn a lot recently, and there's been a lot of conversation around every decision you make. There's only two options. You either come from a place of love, or you come from a place of fear.
Mm, beautiful.
And so I'm practicing at each time and each opportunity, which one do I want to come from? Mm-hmm. Whether it's speaking my mind about something, do I want to come from a place of fear and hold back? And, or do I want to come from a place of love, where I'm vulnerable? Mm. And I allow myself to be seen. Yeah. And I allow myself to fail, if that's even such a thing.
Yeah.
And it's just so neat because there's another saying that, like, it takes 99 no's to get one yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're coming from a place of love, you're willing to be, you're willing to fail.
Yeah.
You know? And that's where all the growth happens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly where the growth happens. Mm-hmm. Risk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and it's really freeing when you choose love. Mm-hmm. It is. Beautiful thing.
Beautiful, you guys. Is there anything else you feel like you'd maybe like to share, or that we could have dialogue around, or do you have any questions?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can talk to you forever.
I know. I know.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Download the Van Life app. come to New Orleans in October for our gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wish that I could really, like, I really do my best to try and, like, water and nourish the people that sit here to show who you guys are to others, because I'm just so blown away and so grateful for the people I meet out here, and I'm so grateful for you guys. And I've come to realize recently, like, this is so much learning for me, and that's why I'm doing. And then I realized that that's no longer as important to me, because I don't need to try and show how beautiful people are, because I can't control the way people receive or respond to what's being put out there. And so it's just, like, so important for me just to be super authentic and honest with just what is.
Yeah.
And hopefully people see the magic in others, and if they don't, that's, you know, like, it's just this that's important, just sitting here with you guys and being in a space.
Yeah. I mean, this is magical for me. I'm just, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, people are gonna see the magic if they're open to it, and people who aren't open to it, just not.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah. And so you guys are open to having people reach out to you.
Absolutely.
And ask questions, maybe if they want to know a bit more about your journey and more about these upcoming events and stuff.
Always, yeah. Yeah, we are. Yeah, people can, like, DM us on Instagram at Irito Aurora.
Yeah. Or check out our website, cacti and coconuts.green.
Mm-hmm.
It's our website.
Dot green?
Us through there. Mm-hmm. Dot green.
Ah, okay. Cool.
Yeah,
I gotta check that out.
Sustainable website. It's with environmental tips and tricks and, you know, stories.
Beautiful. Yeah. Okay, and I'll include that all in underneath. And,
yeah, totally.
Thank you guys so much for
being
here.
Thank you for having us.
This is really, really special. I'm really glad we got the chance to sit and do this.
Yes, thank me too.
Having us in your
finally.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Until next time, everybody. Thanks for tuning in this week. This episode is brought to you by Renogy, where empowering you to live the life you want is their tagline, and they truly mean it. All my equipment is ran off 2 100-watt solar panels, and I would not be here sitting with all you amazing folks if it wasn't for Renogy. Thanks.